This morning, we're starting a new sermon series, and you may have noticed that a lot of the worship songs we sang this morning were focused on heaven, and that's what we're actually, our sermon series is on heaven. And I think a lot of times, as I know for myself, I refer to it often in sermons, but not often do we speak specifically on heaven and some of the different aspects of heaven. And I mean, outside of a funeral, we don't hear it that often, preach that often in the churches. And so that's what we want to do for the next 3 to 4 weeks. Next weekend, of course, is Thanksgiving. So Pastor Simon is going to be speaking in regards to Thanksgiving. But then following that, we will continue in the series again. Heaven is one of those things that we don't talk about much, but it is extremely important, because what you and I, what we believe to be true about the future will impact today. It will. What we believe to be true about the future will impact how you and I live, love, and act in the present, in the reality of everyday life. And perhaps today some of you are feeling the strain of life. When we look at the escalation of the war in Israel, the deterioration of mankind's morality all around us, parenting children in a world that doesn't have any or very few godly values or biblical principles, the financial burdens that we carry, and with health concerns. So in light of all of these things, it's hard to live with joy or hope in what the future holds. But the bright spot for followers of Jesus is the hope that Jesus gives in these words. And I trust that these words are going to be an encouragement for you today, whatever place you are in today in your own personal journey, that it will be words of encouragement for each one of you. As encouraging as it was for his disciples, the original disciples, when he was speaking to them. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4, and I'll be going through that this morning. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. And it says this: "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." As he starts off, as Jesus starts off with this, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And he's speaking to them that don't let your hearts be consumed by the fear of the unknown or the destructive behavior of mankind. The disciples are struggling to understand. You see, Jesus has just told them, "I am going to be leaving you. I'm going to be going to a cross. I'm going to die, but I will rise again. I will be resurrected to life, and then I will ascend to the Father." And of course, so they're trying to wrestle with understanding that, and they're not understanding it. And then Jesus is telling them too, that Peter, you're going to deny me. And so the disciples, they're thinking that there has got to be, like, something has happened, something, there's a big trial, something is coming, and so they're uncertain. But Jesus tells them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And I mean, they might be thinking, now what? Jesus is leaving? With the news that Jesus is leaving, now what? As a disciple, they had dropped everything. "We've dropped everything to follow you, and now you're telling us that you're leaving us, you're abandoning us?" But Jesus assures them. He wants to comfort them. He wants to assure them that, yes, he says, "For I go to prepare a place for you." And that place is my Father's house, or heaven. Jesus tells his disciples that he's preparing a way for them to be in heaven. Now, he's not going to heaven to prepare a place and build a place at all. You know, he's not currently building rooms in heaven. When he was talking about what he's referring to is because heaven already existed. So what he's referring to is that he is he is going to make a way through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is the way to heaven. That is the preparation of the place that he is going. The picture that Jesus paints of heaven is a huge place. He's talking about a mansion, my Father's house. And I want you to notice one other piece in there too, that it's relational. It's my Father's house. It's not just any place. I'm not just preparing a place, this some sort of building for you. I want you to be in my Father's house, our Father's house. And the emphasis isn't on the lavishness of this place, of this facility, this building that they're going to, but it's the sheer enormity of its size, that it will accommodate all followers of Jesus. No one is going to be left out. There will be room for everyone who follows Jesus and becomes a follower of Jesus. And then he ensures his disciples with this: if I go to prepare this place for you, if I'm making this way for you, you can be sure of this, that I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is incredible news for these disciples, because they were concerned. But not only is it incredible news for those disciples, it's incredible news for all disciples of Jesus, all followers of Jesus. And what he's saying essentially is, yes, you will endure, to his disciples and to us, yes, you will endure hardship, but the best is yet to come. This life here on earth, this is not all there is. The best is yet to come. You're going to be with me. I'm preparing the way to this place, and I want you to be with me. It's a much better place. Jesus, God incarnate, is reassuring his original disciples, and by extension, all of us, to live in confidence in this present day and age, today, wherever you are at, in the glory of his return and all that awaits us. This is good news for you and I. I mean, maybe you're wrestling with some of those strains of life, the uncertainty, the trials, the moral decline of mankind. But be certain that God has not abandoned you. He has not left you here with nothing beyond this life. There is more to this life, because the best is yet to come. And if we live with that in our minds, if we're focused on the future glory, it will make the trials seem a little less hard. Understanding and believing this to be true for you personally will greatly impact how you live today. If you had no hope for the future, if you and I have no hope for the future, then our today in our trial would be pretty bleak. What is the point? What is the purpose? But as followers of Jesus, he's telling us we have hope. We can have confidence in this. There is something so much better. Jesus is saying, I am coming back for you to be with me in a glorious place. The Apostle Paul understood exactly this, that our lives are temporary. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 5, 1-4, and I'm going to read it in the NLT. He says this, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body. So Paul, he's a tent maker. So he understands that these dwelling places will break down. A tent is a temporary dwelling place. And for us in Saskatchewan, we understand that a tent is not a permanent residence in Saskatchewan. Maybe for a couple months in summer, it's okay. But it's very temporary. And that's what Paul is saying. And he compares this temporary tent with our bodies. They're just temporary. And for you and I, we recognize that very quickly when a loved one passes away, that these earthly bodies, these tents, They are very temporary, and even though we may have, someone may have 80, 90 years with us, the loss is still great. It still doesn't seem very long, but that still is very temporary in the grand scheme of eternity. However, let's keep reading. And he says this, "We will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands." That temporary tent for our earthly bodies, death is not the end. It's the beginning of life in a new house, in a new body, in fact, in heaven. Do you see this? Paul uses the permanent structure. Paul, too, uses the permanent structure, speaking of the house, this intimate place. A house is an intimate place. And I don't know if we have see that significance as much as some other cultures, but when somebody invites you into their house, into their personal space, into their personal dwelling with all of their things and their possessions, it's a very personal and intimate invitation. And that's what Paul understands, what Jesus has done. He's saying, come into my house, come and be with me. I want to be into in a personal, intimate relationship with you. And this is where we are going to spend eternity with our eternal bodies. But because our earthly bodies are temporary and we live in a fallen world, we can easily relate to Paul's next words when he says this, we grow weary in our present bodies. And we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. So here's one of the things that you can take note of. And we'll look at this in one of the sermons in this series a little bit deeper. Because it says, we will put on heavenly bodies, we will not have spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die. It's not that we just want to, oh, please let me die. And Paul says it best. He said, man, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I far prefer to die, but you know, if God, if your plan and your will for me is to be on earth, then I am good with that too, but I long to be with you. And we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we're looking forward to putting on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this. And I love this part of it. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. We are sealed in him. And herein lies the hope for followers of Jesus. When you come to the place and you believe this to be true, that heaven awaits you, your new body awaits you in this heavenly place that is beyond maybe comprehension to a large degree, but it will shape how you live out your life today. It will shape what becomes a priority in your life today. It will shape how you view the trials in your life today. It's not that we're just sitting around waiting to die, but we groan because we long to receive the immortal bodies that God will give us. God's promises of something better should make us dissatisfied with what we have now. Does it? Are we dissatisfied with what we have now? Or maybe our view of heaven isn't quite what it should be, and so we're actually quite satisfied with what we have now. But there's so much more beyond this. And we long for the time when our immortal life will in a sense consume what is mortal and dies. And this isn't wishful thinking. This isn't somebody trying to give you hope for, you know, oh, when you die, I just want to make you feel good about dying. No, this is truth. And the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit who indwells followers of Jesus, provides a seal, giving us the confidence that we will have a new body in a new place in heaven. What view of heaven is shaping your life. And it might be similar to, maybe I can use this illustration. It might be similar to anticipating going on a holiday, going on a vacation. And when you start thinking about going on a holiday, maybe somewhere that you've never gone before, but possibly you've heard some good things about it, you might start Googling some of the things. Well, what's there to see and do there? What are some of the things that we could take in? Like, why would we choose to go there? And so, you know, you search around a bit, and then you commit to going, and so the planning starts. The planning for your travel begins. And I mean, you might start with a passport. Do you have a passport? Is your passport expired? Do you have one that's ready to go? So you need to work on that. You need to work and focus on or get all of your travel plans arranged. Maybe there's some money that you need to save for spending or even for the vacation. Depending where you're going, you might need to buy a few things to prepare for where you're going. That will maybe make your trip better, enhance your trip. And so you may make a list, a to-do list. We want to go here, here, and here. We want to do this, this, and this. And so once you've committed to going somewhere, you think about it often. You have your plans, you have your list. Slowly you buy different things along the way, and as you're making your way to that date, you eagerly anticipate. If you're like me, like I just eagerly anticipate. I count down days. Even if there's 300 days, I would count down all 300 of those days because I'm anticipating going somewhere. Because just knowing that you're going somewhere is that in itself is exciting, right? We get excited about that. And especially if you're planning a hot holiday in the winter months, man, how do you not anticipate? It's so cold and I get away from the heat. You know, those are things that we can anticipate, and they make the winter months a little bit more bearable, right? There's a spring in your step. Things at work, the stresses at work or at home or in life, they don't seem quite as hard or as challenging as they once were. Because you're looking forward to what you will experience there. The beauty of creation. If you're going somewhere warm, it's the warmth of the sun or being with friends and family. When you plan a trip, that future trip impacts how you live in the present before that trip happens. So too is it when we are anticipating heaven. And I think that's why this series is going to be such a benefit for all of us, especially for me, as I look at heaven and all the aspects of heaven and the mysteries that maybe I never thought of before or considered, but man, it's rich, and it changes my perspective as I've started looking at this over the past couple months. It's kind of changed my perspective on today, and I trust that these words of hope will build confidence in the trials and challenges of your today. May our confident hope in our heavenly home shape how you live and love in the present. How you act towards people, how you love people. A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to visit with someone in palliative care. This person was a follower of Jesus, but over during COVID and during illness, had gotten disconnected from the church. And so someone from this church asked if one of us could go visit this person in the hospital in palliative care, and so for sure. And so Pat and I went to visit her, and what I didn't realize was that, and she just basically told us right up front, I'm actually interviewing you to officiate at my funeral. She knew she was going to pass away. This person had struggled with an illness for over 10 years. She had long outlived her life expectancy, and at the point where we met her, she had been moved to palliative care because her situation had deteriorated quite a bit. But one of the things that I soon realized from our conversations with her and with her husband and with her family and friends that were there when we visited is that in her present life of trials, she found incredible comfort in her future glory. And it shaped every day that she lived throughout those 10, 11 years of trials and suffering. She impacted so many lives as she served people during her lifetime. On one of the visits, one of the nurses who wasn't working on that ward at that particular day, one of the nurses came in and she just came in to say hi. And this patient that we were visiting, she just mentioned to this nurse, hey, you know what, I've been praying for you in your situation. You see, her love and her compassion was not hindered by the current situation because she knew where her future was resting. I am going to heaven when I get from here, and I want you to know and understand that that's where you're going as well. That's why she interviewed me, because she wanted to make sure that you need to preach the gospel message at my funeral, because there's going to be people there that do not know Jesus, and I want them to know Jesus. I want them to experience the hope that I have in this very hour, this very day. And later I talked to this nurse briefly, and she just mentioned how encouraged she was every time that she worked on that ward when she went to visit this person. I mean, she's not even working in that area, and she's coming to see that. And I've heard of other nurses that people have done, you know, doing that in as well. It's incredible. But this person, this lady, lived with confidence, such confidence in each day, because she knew that this is not all there is to life. She didn't want to die. She didn't. In fact, a week before she passed away, she said this to me. She said, you know what, today, I asked her how she was doing. She said, well, physically not very well. But you know what, last week Thursday, I came to terms with that I'm going to be leaving. So now I'm resting in that. It's not that she was scared to go. It's that, not that she was scared to die or leave this earth, but she knew that it would break her husband's heart and people would mourn for her. That doesn't mean that she didn't have hard days where she struggled. It was that she was quick to be comforted by Jesus' words and with a view of heaven close at hand. I'm preparing a place for you, and I'll come and take you to be with me. That's true for you. It's true for you. That's true for all of you. If you are a follower of Jesus, that promise extends to each one of us. We have so much to look forward to. That hope and confidence of his return should impact how we live in the present day. I'm preaching to myself. I should not be overcome by the trials of this day, the discouragements of this day, because Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, you can count on the fact that I am coming back to get you, to be with me in this perfect place. Jesus said this in John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. Those words are for you if you don't already have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But don't wait any longer. This hope, this confidence can be yours. Jesus said this. I want to read this again because it's beautiful. It's an encouragement for all believers, and it's an encouragement for those of you, if there's anyone here who has not yet put their faith in Jesus Christ. I tell you the truth, Jesus says. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who have sent me have eternal life. Boom, done. You will never be condemned for your sins because Jesus paid for your sins. He bore your sins on the cross. You have already passed from death into life. Say amen if you understand that. Oh my goodness, that's rich. Then for all followers of Jesus, there's at least four ways living in heaven will impact your present life. Maybe you want to choose one of these to focus on this week, or maybe you focus on all four of this week. First of all, I want you to be encouraged. Do not give up when the challenges and trials seem to surround you. This life with all its trials and hardship, it will be gone. They will end someday. As hard as it is, like you might be looking at in your condition, your state, and your situation, it might feel and it might be endless in time that we know and understand, but it will come to an end, and then there's future hope in the understanding that we will be in our Father's house, rid of that. It will be gone. Be encouraged. Secondly, live with purpose, focusing on living in a way that reflects Christ's love and grace in all you do. Live with purpose. Every activity, work, play, at home, may you reflect Christ. Thirdly, trust in God's sovereignty. This is so easy to say, but it's so hard to live out. Letting go of worries about the future, trusting in God's control over all things, will help you focus on eternal joy rather than on the temporary challenges. And then finally, live with eternal perspective. Make decisions with heaven in mind. And this may help you prioritize what matters most and live a life that glorifies God, knowing that your eternal reward awaits you. I believe this is going to be an incredibly encouraging series. In 2 weeks, I will be taking a look at where you go when you die. What happens 1 minute after you die? Maybe it's seconds after you die. I don't know. But that's what we'll look at. Let's just close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us hope, confidence in our future. That this fallen earth is not all there is, but you have given us hope in the glory of your eternal kingdom. And God, as we dive in, as we dig into to know and understand what you have planned for us beyond this earth, oh God, may it empower us, may it enrich us as we live each and every day in this fallen world. Oh God, may we be a salt and light in this world because of what you have done and accomplished in and through us. God, we praise you, we give you glory and thanks. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.